Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Science apps for kids and adults.
How exciting. And I'll show you a new iPad case for the Pro.
Plus, augmented reality food.
I see you and you see iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Try it free for 14 days at texture.com/twit. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Welcome to iOS Today. Leo Laporte here.
Megan Maroney over here.
Hello. This is the show where we cover iOS, which stands for iOS.
I do OS.
What does iOS stand for? The I stands for nothing.
The I stands for all like the iPhone, the everything.
Yeah, but you know, I never really thought about that. It started with the iMac, and then Steve Jobs, when he came back to Apple, made a little joke about being the CEO, and he said in that case was interim. Mm-hmm. Didn't turn out to be that way. But, somebody's at my door. Let me turn that sound off. I don't know what it stands for when it comes to iMac or iOS.
I think it just stands for our general narcissism.
It's me OS. It's my OS.
Yes.
OS, of course, stands for operating system. Mm-hmm. And the iOS or operating system, whatever that is in the iPad, the iPhone, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV. And that's what we talk about on this show.
Yes. And you know what? Speaking of iOS, it is difficult to get our friend, the Amazon Echo, to play iOS Today. I got an email from our friend Kenny, who watches the show. He listens to the show. And he used to be able to, and he can't. And I've been trying to get it to play. And even Patrick even emailed Amazon for some reason.
Because other things can. You can say, this is the syntax I would use, Echo, or whatever word you use for your trigger word, listen to, for instance, Twit on. And usually if that doesn't work, I say on TuneIn, because that's what it uses. Mm-hmm. And it may be a TuneIn issue. We should see if iOS Today is on TuneIn.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
We've checked.
If you want to watch us live, if you have an Echo show, the one with the screen, you can actually watch the video live, or you can listen live if you have the other Echoes, by saying Echo, listen to Twit. Now, I usually say live, not live, because sometimes she's confused. So if you say, Echo, listen to Twit Live on TuneIn or watch Twit Live, it will usually find it, at least almost always. Listen to iOS Today on TuneIn, and it doesn't work.
No. If anyone can get it to work, please email me, megan@twit.tv, because I've tried everything. And I think it just doesn't recognize, and that's what Amazon said in their email back to Patrick. Like, they're still working on it, and iOS is
That might is be confusing it. Yeah.
Or maybe Amazon is trying to remove the
Mentions
term iOS
would be
from
possible.
Alexa's vocabulary. Yeah. But anyway, we digress. Today we're going to talk about science.
Well, we were inspired by the eclipse, which is the total eclipse, which is coming next month in 3 weeks, August 21st, right, John? 4 weeks from today. And John, in fact, going up to Oregon to watch it. Totality, which means a total eclipse, the sun will be completely obscured by the moon's shadow, will happen in a band across the United States, which hasn't happened in a while. And almost everybody in the United States will get some eclipse. I was looking, NASA has a map which you can click on any locale in the U.S. or I guess in the world, and it'll tell you how much of the sun will be obscured. For instance, in San Francisco, it'll be about, here where we are, 71%. In L.A., it'll be about 61%. But that's more than you think. There'll just be a little crescent sun here. There's the map of totality, which is kind of cool. And so what's good is that even though you may not be in Oregon or one of the areas where you're going to get a total eclipse, you'll get a pretty good eclipse. Remember not to look at the sun ever, ever, ever. Even, you know, if it's just a little fragment, a sliver, you might think, oh, that's not so bright, but that actually can still burn a hole in your retina. The only time it's completely safe is totality, but that's so risky because it's only total for a minute or two, depending on where you are. And then it won't be. Then it'll start emitting from the other side as the moon moves across. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting. So we thought, let's do some science-y things, including mm-hmm. eclipse things for today's show.
Yeah, because on the Screensavers on Saturday, we talked to Nicola Fox, who is a NASA scientist.
Wasn't that fun?
It was great. She told us about their solar probe. They're trying to get to the sun to orbit close enough to the sun to do some science. And she said NASA has an app called Globe Observer, and it will allow you to participate in science. You take pictures of the eclipse and then send them so they can see everywhere what's going on. So now what do you think about aiming your camera at the eclipse, your iPhone camera?
What do I think about it?
Can I aim my camera at the eclipse?
So John's going to take pictures of the eclipse. You won't see anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can aim your camera, your iPhone at the sun now, and mm-hmm. you just get this big flare. And yeah, I guess it protects itself somehow. You wouldn't want to point it there for too long a time. Yeah, I guess you could try to take a picture with your iPhone. And it would certainly, if you're doing that, be safe to look at the iPhone screen. That's not going to be bright enough to hurt your eyes, but never, ever at the sun directly. Okay. And if you have a good camera, you'll probably want to protect it. John has purchased a filter for his camera that has it's basically like a welder's glass. In fact, I think you're going to use a welder's glass because the filters are $150. If you go to B&H Photo, they have a whole article on photographing eclipses, and they tell you what kind of filter. And it's so dark you can't see through it, but you will be able to see the sun. That's how bright the sun is through it. It's welding glass would be another example. If you are going to do photography, one of the things you'll want to know is where to aim it. In fact, the best thing to do if you're going to do even iPhone photography is to kind of plot it out ahead of time, certainly practice. And then the thing that makes, I think, pictures of the moon or eclipses interesting is not just the picture by itself, but the surroundings. You know, the moon is always more interesting when it's coming up and you see buildings and things like this. This is a program called the Photographer's Ephemeris, TPE. And if you're a serious photographer and you're seriously doing astronomical photography, it's mostly useful, you know, day in, day out for pictures of the moon. This will tell you, this is where we are right now. By the way, $8.99. This is the iPad version. There's an iPhone version. There's also an Android version. And it tells you everything you need to know, for instance, sunrise, moonrise, sunset. And then it has some other things that I don't like, nautical sunset, crescent moon, best at 9:14 p.m. Also what you'll see is angles. So as I'm looking at this, I'm seeing different angles. Now, what we can also do is we can skip ahead in time. And so that may be what you're going to want to do is should we go to August 21st?
Yeah.
And see what we're going to see. The eclipse around here will be right about this time of day, actually. And so I can go here and we can see where the sun will be shining. It'll be shining right over the Dow Pharmaceutical Sciences building.
Awesome.
So that's a great picture right there. Actually, the sun will be pretty high, won't it, by then, John? So we may not be able to get any. If you're, you know, down low, you'll be able to get something in it. But that's why you need something like this, is to kind of plan it. You see, we can even see that the sun is going to be eclipsed here, which is kind of cool. So this is, I mean, I can, this thing has so much information in it. If you're a photographer, using ephemeris, that means ephemeris is like tide tables. Using ephemeris from books and so forth may be familiar to you. This is a program that lets you kind of do it. And here's a 3D version, which is kind of neat. Lets you do it on your iPad and plot your sight lines. Plot how you're going to shoot that picture to make it an interesting picture. So you'll know you'll have to be facing, you know, and this is the direction the sun will be coming from. So this is what will be in the background. And in fact, here we might have a really interesting shot because the mountains, the Sonoma Mountain is out here. So we might be able to, and this is what you want to do. And if you want to get Sonoma Mountain in the picture, you might have to move over here to Stony Butt to really get that picture with the Sonoma Mountain in the background. This is the kind of app that will help you do that. It is, I think, a really cool way of planning for your eclipse shoot if you want to do it.
Yeah, so the Globe Observer, I have this up on my iPad now. The new app is unlocked August 18th, so not quite yet. But that you can take pictures of the clouds and that sort of thing. So right now you can actually take pictures of clouds and add to science, or take pictures of mosquitoes.
Oh, that would be valuable.
Add to science.
So this is like to become a scientific observer.
Yeah, a helper with science.
Helper.
You capture the data and you can identify the cloud types, and then you send it up. And so, you know, with all of this crowdsourcing, you can help science.
It is estimated this will be the most photographed eclipse of all time. I think that that's a given.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the time
cameras
we live in.
Yeah. I'm just gonna observe it. I'm gonna just be there.
You know, it's a fun thing to do. And of course, a lot of kids will be watching, and they'll be making pinhole cameras, which mm-hmm. is fun. You poke a hole in a shoebox, for instance, and then shine it over your shoulder, and you can see the eclipse in the back of the shoebox. But do you remember, maybe you don't, but the last time we had an eclipse, which wasn't so long ago, we had a partial eclipse, that when it shines through the tree leaves, they become pinhole cameras, and you may see hundreds of images of the eclipsed crescent sun projected, in effect, by a tree. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
I am looking forward to it, too.
Yeah. So, more science.
Okay. So similar to the app that I just showed, the Globe Observer that we heard about, there's one called iNaturalist. Have you heard of iNaturalist?
No, that sounds cool.
It helps you identify the science around you, and then, again, you can participate in the observations. So it helps. So I took this picture. Let's look, observe. So I can click observe. If I'm out in the wilderness, I could take a picture. Let's see if it knows what your hand is. So.
Wow.
And let's see. What do you see? What's going to load some suggestions?
Do you think it'll recognize a hand on an iPad?
A human.
There's a human.
There you are. Or you're a honeybee or an Asian lady beetle. Perhaps you're an Asian lady beetle.
I could be.
So let's actually take some wilderness, a picture that if I want to enjoy my surroundings, take a bunch of pictures, and then I'm at home later, and I will, let's find some nature here. I took a picture of this sunflower with a bee on it. I'm going to see if it recognizes that. I click next and see what the suggestions are. So it tells me where I took it and everything. And I could either look up the species by name or look sunflowers. So it recognizes, this is pretty good. It recognized the sunflower and the bee that on that picture.
Hmm.
So then I can learn more about the common sunflower.
That's really a digression. Looked at my hand, you know, studying the sunflower and the bee.
Well, that was actually a picture of a sunflower.
Oh, you actually had one.
Yes,
oh.
And there's the Chilean.
I'm sorry, I wasn't following.
I know you got a little bit distracted. That's okay. and here, I honestly wanted to know. Do you know what this flower is? Don't cheat.
Yeah, that's the honey bucket.
No.
No.
Is that, well, it does look like a honey bucket. It's a foxglove.
That's a foxglove. Don't eat it, kids, because unless you're having a heart attack, because it's poisonous.
What if I already ate it?
We'll rush you to the hospital.
Okay, iNaturalist. You can also join projects. So there's all these projects nearby. So I can see, look at all these, McNear School. That's where your kids went. They're working on a project. Petaluma High. So you can see.
Oh, that's neat. These are local local schools.
Yeah, and there's a domestic
cool, isn't
dog.
That?
So obviously people are using this in school. So if you're an educator, this could be helpful so that you can help your students learn about what's on the ground. For
How
example,
fun
this
is
isopod.
That? It's an isopod.
Mm-hmm. In order of paracarid crustacean.
Oh, we call them, what do we call
pill
those?
Bugs.
Those
are the pill bugs. Or roly-polies.
Roly-polies, yeah.
Depending on where you grew up, it's either a roly-poly
yeah.
or a pill bug.
Roly-polies, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called, an isopod for reals?
Mm-hmm. Isopod.
How interesting.
The name derives from the Greek roots iso, meaning same.
Same. Mm-hmm. Iso. It's an isopod.
Do you have anything or shall I keep going?
Well, I was going to mention the Smithsonian Channel.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are, there's lots of science channels and lots of, there's Discovery and so forth. But most of those require a subscription
By 1955, Americans are experiencing a golden decade.
This isn't exactly science, but it's kind of fun.
America is the richest country in the world.
Yes. Anyway, this is about the 50s, but this is the Smithsonian Channel, which has a lot of great videos, including a lot of science videos. Let me see if I can find something more scientific here. Evel Knievel's famous Snake River jump. You know, here, how about UFO evidence? That's pseudoscience. Pseudoscience. So you don't have to have a cable subscription to watch these, which is one of the things I like about this. Also, the length of these varies. So this was a very short one. It's just 2 minutes. But they have full-length shows and shorts and all sorts of stuff. I guess it's fair that this should be free. We paid for it with our tax dollars, mm-hmm. right?
True.
So this is the nation's museum, the Smithsonian. And Smithsonian, of course, covers more than just science. But
right, there's the natural history.
This actually is a great app just to have in case, you know, you get bored. There's all sorts of stuff in here. Shark facts.
It's Shark Week.
It is Shark Week. By the way, spoiler alert. Michael Phelps did not beat that shark on Saturday.
He didn't, nor was he even swimming with the shark.
There wasn't even a shark near him.
No.
It was a time trial. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah.
18, how about this? 18 engineering wonders of the world. See, that's fun.
And if you're planning a trip to D.C. And planning on going to any of the museums, download the apps on your iPhone first before you go because they're super helpful.
The Smithsonian is so fun, and I especially like the Air and Space Museum, Air and Space Museum.
The Udvar-Hazy.
Udvar-Hazy. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep, Udvar-Hazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
good to
he's
know.
The rich guy that paid
apparently
for it.
There's a cow. Oh, there's an ad in here. That's why it's why it's free. Mm-hmm. There's a little, but that was a short ad.
Oh, that Geico wasn't part of the United States Natural History.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. I have so many.
I know. Why
don't
you do some more? There's so many good ones.
So science, you can't have science without math, right? Don't you
agree?
That's
right. Science is math applied or something. I don't know.
Have you ever used the MyScript calculator?
Yeah, I love MyScript.
I love the MyScript calculator. Yeah. Okay, so let's just delete that.
Because you write.
Yeah.
And it's really good with a pro,
387 times 465 equals.
Nice.
Yeah. And then if I want to save that, I can hold it. Let's see. Let's try that again. 4 times 94.
Now, it'll do more sophisticated stuff.
Yes, so I can save that. But yeah, like if I want to do pi times 4 equals...
Nice.
I don't know why I did pi to the third
pi
power.
Pi cubed, but it will do powers, which is pi, nice.
Yes, it will. Yeah, you can do... And then you can see like if you regularly make this equation,
it'll do
you
integrals and it'll do other kind of sophisticated stuff, quadratics.
I love this.
It is really well done.
Because I am feeling like a part of hand to paper or, you know, Apple Pencil to iPad is how you learn. Like I feel
it's
like
kind
that,
of natural,
and
yeah.
losing that with just a calculator.
Yeah,
I mean, we had the discussion because my daughter needs a graphing calculator, and I was asking for help with that.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, "Why do they need that?
They have
so many apps."
And I think it's because they don't want them to use a phone or a tablet,
right? Because you cheat.
Because you could cheat. But it is a shame. And these are expensive. They're like $100.
Right. And you said you were going to give me one of your old ones.
If I could find one, I will.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look around.
It's on video.
There are free graphing calculators. There's so many graphing calculators on the iPad. But I think that's really the reason is that they just don't want you to. I mean, this is in effect HP 85s and other typical that you would buy calculators. However... they don't want you to have access to the rest of the iPad. So there's a TI-84.
Yeah, TI-87 is what I've been told to get.
Mm-hmm.
I can keep going.
Keep going.
This is one that you'll probably have more knowledge of than I do. The Wolfram Alpha
Love it. And I've recommended this many, many times. This can be also a scientific calculator, by the way. You can ask it all sorts of things. Stephen Wolfram is a super genius. One of the most amazing people alive today. And one of the things they've been doing at Wolfram Alpha for, I think, almost a decade, maybe even more, is entering data into the system. So this is a system that basically is kind of artificial intelligence, machine learning. You can type any query into it, and it will attempt to understand it and then solve it. But it can be simple things like, you know, your name And how many people are named that, and when the peak, you know, if you just type in Megan, you'll see information about that. Not my whole name, but I don't think it's going to do anything. But Leo would do something.
Well,
so you, look, it found the Wikipedia entry. So, yeah, it can do that. Here's the frequency. Is that the frequency of...
That's your Wikipedia page hits.
Wow.
People don't use Wikipedia anymore. Let's get rid of that.
I love Wolfram Alpha. Now, it's not free. You can use it for free on the web. And I think what he's trying to do with Wolfram Alpha on the iPad is kind of help support the project.
Yeah. Well,
this is amazing. I mean, every student should know about Wolfram Alpha and be proficient in using it. There is a little skill involved in creating queries, but that's what you see on the left there is some sample queries to give you an idea of the kinds of things you can ask it. You know, my father-in-law, who was a science teacher in high school, Jennifer's dad, used to love to give us puzzlers. And for instance, he said, well, how much would 1 centimeter of water over an acre weigh? and you're supposed to figure that out in your head. But it turns out you can just ask Wolfram Alpha and it will answer it for you. After I spent a lot of time calculating it, I figured out I could ask Wolfram.
So
it's great to know.
That brings up a good point. There's been some controversy. Wolfram Alpha has been in the news about some cheating. There was, you know, in the general news.
Smarter than the average bear.
And not only that, like, it explains how it got there, right? Because that's what you have with all of our devices and all our calculators and all our iPad apps. We're teaching kids more of how you got there now, right? Not the answer.
Which is appropriate because facts basically are available at the touch of a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding and creating new inferences and new connections is a real skill that only humans at this point are very good at. And so that this is another thing that my father-in-law said. He said, we gave him an iPad and he said, why? I mean, he just was blown away by it. And he said, if Copernicus had had this, Copernicus spent most of his life creating the instruments to gather facts, the telescopes, grinding lenses and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd had that, all the information at his fingertips, he could have come to his conclusions and maybe many more much quicker. So we're in that situation these days where we don't have to spend as much time observing. We have facts at our fingertips. Now it's about what you can do with them. So I agree with you on that, yeah.
But then what about, there was a story in Wired recently about how a math teacher gave students a really difficult problem that she did not expect them to be able to solve, and they had to show their work. And they all they did, using Wolfram Alpha.
Oh, interesting.
Because Wolfram Alpha goes from steps to step, but it was all exactly the same.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of like, oh, we have these tools, kids are cheating. But I think, you know, and I'm married to a teacher. There's the story.
Yeah.
You know, a good teacher knows when a kid is cheating.
Sure.
Even if, you know, it's like Marco doesn't use all those tools where you cut and paste, the sentences or a paragraph from an essay. He knows, like, he'll read an essay he also works at a private school where he doesn't have 30 students in every class. But he knows, like, hey, you know, you're not.
Well,
you can't. I've seen the work you've done in the past, and this doesn't match it. So I think that's the impetus.
They're also
that is the
great tools for teachers use. I mean, just as kids have Google, teachers have plagiarism tools. Google's one of them, but they have also software that will find plagiarism.
Right, so. But then he's also experienced students who have people write their essays for them, like a tutor.
Right.
So that's not going to show up. So
you
have to know your student.
No, but you will recognize it, right?
Yeah.
I think. That's one of the reasons, by the way, you have to buy a TI-87 is because they don't want your kid to have access not only to a graphing calculator on her iPad, but also on Wolfram Alpha.
Right, exactly.
I agree. Wolfram Alpha is a miracle, and everybody should get to know it and use it. Yeah, it's amazing. It's actually just a lot of fun.
Yeah,
search
just
for your
playing
name.
Around for it. Yeah.
Yeah, or if you want to do comparisons of companies, you could do Apple. Versus Exxon, for instance. If you just type in Apple versus Exxon, it'll show you the relative strengths, financial strengths of each company. It's very interesting. Mm. Fascinating stuff. I'm trying to download, but it's very large. So when I was started talking about John, my father-in-law, I remember that the program that we showed him that blew him away and made him think about Copernicus was called The Elements. This is one of the very first iPad applications, but it's gigabytes in size, and I'm trying to download it now, and frankly, it's going to take too long.
I can show you the kid version of that if you'd like.
Well, this is probably it, right? Or you have a little kid version.
Little Alchemy. Have you ever seen
that? Oh, no.
So you have all your elements here, and I've actually unlocked a few, and then you get to move them. So if I mix, let's see, ocean and salt. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, ocean. Let's see. If I mix water and fire, I get steam. If I mix earth.
Oh, this is. And, so you could do a chemistry.
Yeah. And the
experiment.
Ocean. Oh, I get nothing. Yeah. I get earth and water. What do I get? Mud. What if I mix salt and mud? Nothing. What if I mix steam and mud? Nothing. What if I mix fire and mud? What do you? I got a brick. So what if I mix a brick and a brick? I get a wall. What if I mix another brick?
Kids
another
will
brick
like
in
this
the wall.
Because they kind of do this with in Minecraft. This will kind of remind them of Minecraft.
A little bit, yeah. So Little Alchemy. My kids learned about this in school. So brick and an ocean. And you just keep guessing. Air and a wall. Air and the sea. Air. So Little Alchemy is free. And
I've got the elements now. Let me just show you. And you need to listen to this, because when it first starts off, it gives you Tom Lehrer's very famous song where he's made a song of all the names of the elements, and it shows you each element as he sings it. Let's just watch this for a second.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium.
Now, for those of you not watching video, we're seeing pictures of each of these elements plus their position in the periodic table. And if I skip through the song and just pick an element, it's really fun. So Copernicum, for instance, which is named after Nicholas Copernicus. We were just talking about him. Mm-hmm. And we can learn about the element. This is the elements in action. I don't want to buy that. So how do I cancel that? Here. There we go. You can learn about... I love this kind of stuff. Here's silver. You can learn about... This is great for a student. It's spectral table here. What its electronegativity, its boiling point, percent in the sun, in the universe, in the crust. This, by the way, comes from Wolfram Alpha. So that's kind of neat that they're using some of the Wolfram Alpha stuff. And somebody in the chat room mentioned, and I'll mention it real quickly, it's beyond my canon ability, but the most popular mathematics program in the world for teaching math is called MATLAB. And now this, you have to have MATLAB on your computer or the MathWorks cloud. So the app is free, but it's a mobile partner to your paid, and it's fairly expensive, MATLAB subscription. So I just wanted to mention it. Thank you, chat room, for reminding me of that, because that is a serious mathematics tool. In fact, there are a lot of very interesting tools like that. Like the Jupyter notebooks, for instance, using Python, that a lot of students will be using in math class on an iPad.
I have one more.
Yes, dear.
One more. Socratic. And this gets back to the homework help versus...
Socratic method?
Yes. It comes from the Socratic method, you know, how you get at an answer. So Socratic lets you point your iPad at a question at your homework, basically. I'll show an example because I don't have homework. So you move your phone, so it's an iPhone app, and see, there's my homework, and I just take a picture of it, and a balloon has a volume of 2.9 liters at 320 Kelvin. If the temperature is raised 343K, what will the volume be? All right, mathematicians out there, see? And so it tells
challenge.
You how...
Wow.
You get at the method. So there's a Q&A. You can use the unitary method, of course. You could use the gas law. So it kind of goes through the explanations. So if your parents are not so great at math, it links to a Khan Academy video about that, all the laws. This is a great app, you know, because everybody I hear this a lot from parents that their kids, even in like fifth or sixth grade, their math has gone beyond, it's done a Google search, beyond what they know. And so Socratic, for parents out there, is a good app. So you take the picture of your kid's homework, then you can help, then you memorize everything and pretend you already know.
You pretend you already know. That's great, because I would do that. I would sit there while they're doing their Algebra 2 homework, Googling, how do you solve a quadratic? Because I studied it, but I don't remember. Who remembers that?
And they do it differently now, too.
Do they?
But they do a little bit.
They have different techniques.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is fun. I like it. I forgot all about the elements. I haven't looked at this in years. And I think if you've got a kid who's interested in chemistry or science, cadmium. You know what we do with cadmium?
We put it in
Batteries, right? The treatment with dichromate gives these cadmium-plated castle nuts a gold color. It's very visual. It's fun. I really have to say, they've done a nice job with this. And what's interesting is I haven't seen it in a while, and they've added a lot of new stuff to it. So that's the elements again. But I think it's so much fun to, and an iPad is such a natural way to explore and learn. It's the elements is available as a book. In fact, I think was a coffee table book before it was an iPad app. But it's so much more fun in the iPad world. Mm-hmm. There's some ideas for you.
You know where else you can learn about science?
I bet it's on this little piece of blue paper.
Magazines.
I have right here. Oh, so it's texture time. Let me just launch my texture. Texture is kind of like Netflix for magazines. Now, I love reading magazines. Almost every magazine, every month has at least one article I want to read. I'm just thinking like Rolling Stone. I probably wouldn't subscribe to Rolling Stone, but I there's definitely stuff in there I would want to read, maybe an article or two every year or more. So what's nice is I have that. I have all the magazines, 200-plus magazines. Now, here we're seeing the highlights section of texture. This is nice. So you don't have to know what's in each magazine or go through each magazine to find articles you're interested in. New and noteworthy stories here picked by the editorial team. Charlize Theron gives 007 a run for his money from W Magazine. Google's elite hacker SWAT team versus everyone. That's from Fortune Magazine. And if you say, hey, I would like to read about, the college experience overseas, I can open it. And it's just, this is from Town and Country, it's just like the paper magazine. You can swipe through the articles. Every page that's on the newsstand is there. And because it's an iPad, of course, you can zoom in and make it easier to read. You can look at pictures. That's another thing that I really have to say I love about texture. If you're a fan of the photographic magazines, like National Geographic, I like Dwell, you can go into these magazines. Here's Shutterbug. And you're going to see, notice this. Would you like to automatically download I can favorite a magazine, turn on auto download, and then I don't have to remember if I'm getting on a plane or going somewhere where there's no internet to get this magazine ahead of time. It's like you've got a stack of magazines in your iPad or your iPhone. Yeah, it works on an iPhone well, too. And I was about to say this, when you're a photographic lover of photography, the pictures in these magazines, frankly, look better than they do in the magazine. In the magazine, they've got, the limitations of the printing press. Here, we can actually see the picture as the photographer intended it. We can zoom in on it. And this makes it, in my opinion, even better than reading it on paper. In fact, so many of these magazines are better, frankly, on the iPad or the iPhone. I get the New Yorker. I used to get the paper one. I just have all this New Yorker guilt because I would never read them, and I'd pile them up, and the coffee table practically collapsed under the weight. There's the Vanity Fair cover with Serena on it. And let's see, I'm not going to download that automatically. But I just want to go through it so you can see you get the table of contents, and you can jump into any story just like that and then swipe through it. There's also features that you don't get in traditional magazines. There's video in some cases. I love the highlights because that makes it easy to find stuff. You can break it down by categories. 200-plus magazines. Now, how much would you pay if you subscribed to 200 magazines? It'd be thousands of dollars a year, right? If you even just bought an issue or two every month, it'd cost more than the cost of all 200 magazines, every page, less than 10 bucks a month. And right now you can get it absolutely free. This is Texture. If you go to texture.com/twit, texture.com/twit, some of the best journalism is still being done. In fact, this is the last bastion in some cases of great journalism in magazines. I'm a fan of boating, right? I'm really fantasizing about boats, so I can read about boats. By the way, it's all the ads too. Now you may say, well, I don't want the ads, but if you're a boating fanatic, part of the reason you get a boating magazine is to look at the ads, right? And then, of course, 6 inflatable tow toys to ride this season. I'm living for this article. Anyway, texture.com/twit. 2 weeks free. Set it up. Try it. Summertime is the best time for Texture. You're about to go on vacation. I tell you what, before I get on a plane, I make sure I get all my magazines downloaded on Texture. texture.com/twit.
All right. I see you have a new case there.
Oh, you want me to talk about
this
a little bit? Yeah. So we actually did talk about this because when I bought the iPad Pro, this is obviously the 10.5-inch iPad Pro, I bought the Apple Smart Keyboard. That's $160. And it's kind of flimsy. Doesn't really protect the back of it at all. Falls off easily. So I thought there might be other companies providing keyboards. But remember that one of the things I'm looking for, you're not so much, but one of the things I'm looking for, because I have a Pro, is something that will work with the iPad Pro's smart connector. That's those three dots on the bottom here. This is what it can attach to a keyboard and power it. On the smart keyboard, it powers it. You're not using that. You're using a Bluetooth keyboard, so you have to remember to charge it.
Mm-hmm. And turn it on and off.
And turn it on and off. So this is one of the few keyboards and cases that supports it. Now, because it supports the smart connector, just like the Apple keyboard, it's detachable. So you don't have to have it. In fact, this is the Logitech Slim Combo case. It's a lot cheaper than the Apple smart keyboard, and it has a lot more features, in my opinion. This is $129. It has a loop for the pencil, so you never have to remember where you put your pencil. Plus, as you know, the nib of the pencil is fragile, and mm-hmm. so you want to put it somewhere where it's protected. It also has a hardcover back, and I love this. The stand, you know, I always had problems with the Apple keyboard because the stand was so wobbly jobbly that I, you know, it would fall over and stuff like that. And there was only one angle you could have on it. This has any number of angles. You can even lie it flat if you want. So this is from about, I don't know, 20 degrees to all the way up to almost completely upright and anywhere in between. It's a continuous thing. So get the angle just right. I like that feature. And then this, of course, closes up. This is a case. It's a back, so it also can just be used as a case, and it's got all the appropriate openings for everything. It doesn't do the rubber, hard rubber buttons for anything except for the volume control. Otherwise, you have access to the on-off. No, I guess the on-off switch mm-hmm. also has a button.
I don't like that on the Logitech.
The button?
Yeah, well, I have the Logitech for the first iPad Pro. The 12.
Yeah, and that was pretty clunky. They call this the Slim Combo, and mm-hmm. I think it is a little lighter and a little slimmer. The keyboard is pretty remarkable. Let me show you the keyboard. I think it's a very good keyboard, and this is hard plastic, so it's a little bit more solid than the Apple keyboard. And it has it's specifically for the iPad, so notice it has the iPad lock button. Right there. Now, that's one negative because it's right above the delete key. And, you know, if you're a little sloppy, sometimes you turn off the iPad instead of hitting backspace. Mm-hmm. It has, you know, the other key, special keys, the world key, which switches keyboards, control, option, and command are here. So you can do all the command, cut and paste stuff. It has full arrow keys, too. This is a real keyboard. And additionally, one thing that the Apple keyboard doesn't do, it's backlit. Mm. Now, I don't know if that's important to you. I often use an iPad in the dark or at night or in bed, and so having a keyboard that lights up is important. And all of this is powered by the smart connector, so you don't have to charge. Remember to charge this keyboard. Now, one thing I do notice is that when I first use it, often it doesn't see the keyboard. It sees it, I guess, because it's not popping up the on-screen keyboard, which it would do if it didn't see the keyboard. But the keyboard's not functional. Sometimes I have to detach it and reattach it to wake it up. But there you go. This is a rubber, soft rubber protector so that when you close the keyboard, it's not hitting the screen in any way. And so this is the full package. And it's a lot smaller than the old Logitech keyboard case that we got with our first iPad Pros. This does fall off a little bit, which is, you know, this is, well, it's just not.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the smart keyboard cover. It's not super strong on here. You can see the backlighting there, which is quite strong and quite good. I have it on automatic, so it's going to turn off because it says, oh, you're in bright light. I'm not going to waste battery on doing that. What else can I tell you? I think it's a good price. It's hard plastic. It's not aesthetic particularly. But I think for somebody who's looking for an alternative to Apple's smart keyboard, this is one of the few that actually works with a smart connector.
I have been frustrated with a smart connector, I will tell you. And I thought it was just the old iPad, but the new iPad too. Or maybe it was my smart keyboard, because I've been using the old smart keyboard for the 9.7 with the 10.5. But one of the things I love about having guests come to the studio, we have a wonderful guest.
People's cases.
He suggested a case that I immediately bought, the Komo.
You already bought it.
I bought it.
K-H-O-M-O.
It's $14.95, $15. It comes, it's just for the back, so it fits with the smart the Apple Smart Keyboard, and as you can see, I'm using the Magic Keyboard.
Well, the price is right.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Again, you spend a lot of money on that Smart Keyboard. That's an expense. Apple really overcharges for that.
And then you have two separate things. And again, I still have to charge this and remember to turn it off and on. But thank you for the recommendation. I am excited we can show that off next week. Okay, we need to talk about something.
Uh-oh.
We need to talk about The Rock. This.
Yeah, this peeved me.
Really? I love The Rock. I have a special place in my heart.
Why do you love The Rock?
I just find him so charming.
He's cute. But this, it's not The Rock I have a problem with.
Okay.
It's basically an Apple ad. So,
right, so
The Rock tweeted that his next movie was going to be The Rock versus Siri. And it's not a movie. It's an ad.
Can we watch a little bit of it
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a funny
commercial. I want to dominate the day like The Rock is where it is in the... There we go.
This one's for Earth. This one is for Earth.
Bingo. Boom. Love that one. Felt it.
Yeah, felt good. Hey, Siri, read my schedule.
You have 25 appointments at 7:15.
Oh, look.
7:20.
You're on the telly.
With so many projects in the works, it seems like Dwayne Johnson can't possibly take on any more.
Well, that sounds like a challenge.
Hey, Dwayne, where are we going, buddy?
Wayne, buddy.
Hey, Siri, show me my life goals list.
I found 10 reminders.
Thank you very much. Hey, Siri, give me a Lyft ride to LAX.
Lyft can get you a lift in 60 seconds.
Mind if I drive? I know a shortcut.
You're...
Yeah.
What's the temperature? It is funny. Watch the rest. It's only, I don't know, two, three minutes long. But I learned some things.
What'd you
learn? Did you know that Siri can say, hey, Siri, take a selfie?
Yeah, I did know that.
I did not know that. And
of course, The Rock knew that, too.
The Rock knew that. yes, Siri doesn't always work as you would like her to.
The Rock is former professional wrestler Dwayne Johnson, soon to be candidate for president of the United States.
Star of the Mummy.
Star of the Mummy, which is not exactly a credit I would celebrate. But anyway, you know, I like The Rock.
Yeah.
He's funny. He at least is self-deprecating. He makes fun of himself.
Yes. if you haven't seen him on Saturday Night Live, I mean, you're missing out.
The thing, the issue I had was, everybody's excited about a movie with Siri, but it's an ad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long ad.
Yeah.
But it's an ad. And I have to say, I think mostly my disdain is not for The Rock. I have great respect for him. It's for Siri. Siri is, and by the way, notice, while he was interacting with Siri, at least the part we saw, the only thing that was useful was that it got him a ride.
What about taking a selfie?
Okay, and taking a selfie. But popping up a list of your life goals that you can't read is not that useful. And I've found Siri to be more annoying in almost every time I try to use her. You know, the other day we were down by Google in Mountain View, and when we were looking for a restaurant, and Siri, it's as if nobody at Apple ever uses Siri. The usability is terrible. I said, show me some restaurants. I want some restaurants near me. She started slowly reading the restaurants. I could see a list behind the card she kept popping up, but I couldn't get to the list. And I didn't want to listen to her read it, so I tried to close her reading it, and it hid the list. And it was an exercise in frustration. Mm-hmm. And you feel like whoever designed this never uses it, or they would perhaps make it more usable.
Or maybe they use it like I do, which is...
to take a selfie.
Open Google Assistant.
And then... here's what I found on the web for his open Google Assistant. That
drives me nuts.
So yes, a Google Assistant to me is only one thumb
All she did
away.
Was do a Google search for Google Assistant.
Yeah, so like I just... this is what I do when I want Siri. I just do that. And then talk to your Google Assistant. It's one button away, and it's super helpful. Yeah, super helpful. Look, I'm giving her compliments. So, yeah, but I do like The Rock. And
The Rock's funny.
You're right. It was an ad.
The series annoying.
I mean, it sold The Rock for me more than it did Siri.
And I have never called an Uber or a Lyft with Siri. Have you?
No. No.
You just open the app.
Yeah. All right, so we have some feedback. You ready to some feedback and questions? Greg writes, I watched your review of the Affinity Photo program, which you showed on your show as $20. When I tried to purchase Tuesday, yeah. The price was $20.
I should have mentioned there was an special introductory mm-hmm. price when they first came out with it. Yeah, so now it's $30. It's still worth it, I think, at $30.
Okay.
Although, I am increasingly of the opinion that all anybody really needs, if what you want to do is edit photos, is the absolutely free Snapseed from Google. And start with that. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
And it works great.
Yeah, remember how I made Alex smile in that photo? I mean, what else could you want from a photo editor?
Affinity is more like you got Photoshop on your iPad, and I find it difficult to use. It's challenging. There's a real learning curve on mm-hmm. it. If you need that kind of tool... with layers and, you know, all that and filters. But I think Snapseed really is. The more I use it, the more I think, what am I wasting time with everything else? One of the reasons this comes up for me is because I'm really thinking, as I've mentioned before, and it's the reason I got this case, about not bringing a laptop on my next vacation, but just bringing an iPad Pro. And most of what I use a computer for on vacation, almost all of it, is photographs, is edit, is processing every night the stuff I took for the day, picking what I want, saving what I want, getting rid of what I don't want, processing it and posting it. And if I can do that on an iPad, and I'm thinking, you know, I got Affinity, I got all these other programs. I'm thinking, really, all I really need is Snapseed.
Yeah.
Should show you a trick that I have that I did learn. Mm. I'll just do this real quickly, then we can move on. But when you're editing a photo, so here's a photo, and you go into edit, there's this little button down here. You know, these are the basic edit tools, enhance and crop, and you can modify colors. But there's this little tool down here that allows you to add apps that you want to import it in. Now, I wish they had more. For instance, Snapseed is not on here. I have a lot of photo editing apps, and the only ones that show up are Pixelmator and Flare Effects for some reason. But, and we've mentioned this before, Pixelmator, the new Pixelmator, has gotten so good that it is a reasonable alternative. These are all the filters. There's a lot you can do with it. This also is something to look at, perhaps, instead of Affinity Photo. Look, I made a kaleidoscope out of the microphone. That's kind of cool. I don't know what I'd do with it. But, so, little tip.
That is cool.
Isn't that? It's kind of cool. Little tip is expand this three-dot menu and add the pro. I wish I could put Snapseed in there. Then this would be almost perfect. Because every time I import photos into Apple Photos, you know, all the photos I import are there. But I would really like it if I could just then edit right into Snapseed from here. And for some reason, it's not on there. It's probably a Google thing. Probably Google needs to modify Snapseed.
Probably.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract
you.
These things helpful. Happen to me, and then I want to share them with you, and I wait till today.
That's what the show is for. I like to share about my bullet journal as well, as you know. And I'm not just saying it. Tom wrote to me, and he asked. He said, I was looking to see how and what you were using the bullet journal for, and if you were using the iPad or the iPhone in conjunction with the journal.
No.
I do.
You do?
A little bit, yeah.
How?
Yeah. Well, the Bullet Journal app, which I think...
So Bullet Journal is a written, physical journal that has some special tools.
Right. Well, let's step back. Bullet journaling, that's a thing.
It's
or
a thing.
Bujo, as we call it.
Bujo.
Those of us who drink
Isn't that the killer
drink.
Dog from Stephen
that's
King?
That's Cujo.
Okay.
Bujo.
Bujo.
So bullet journaling is
I
just
pronounce
a quick
it Bujo.
System, as you're seeing on the screen, like bullets instead of having to write a bunch.
Yeah.
But you can also buy the bullet journal from,
you of
know,
course
the,
you can.
Yes.
Not that you need it.
No, you don't need it. And they're very clear about how you don't need it. And people do amazing things with the bullet journal. They keep their life
You're
goals.
You're slowly winning me over on this thing.
I hope so.
The thing I'm worried about is losing it. There's no
right.
backup.
Well, the bullet journal companion app. They now have come up with an app. I think I showed it, but you were on vacation. So here it is. And it's basically for the iPhone, not for the iPad. But you can create a library. The library serves as your master index for all your notebooks. It allows you to easily catalog and search content throughout your library of bullet journals. So you can add a journal and, you know, add the start and the end date and done. And then you take photos of it. You add tags so you can find it later. So that is how I use it in conjunction with my iPhone or my iPad. Now, I finished my first bullet journal, which I started in January. And then now I'm using a Baron Fig journal. Have you heard of the Baron Fig?
The Baron Fig?
It's still the Bujo system.
Is it bear
system.
Like her? Or bear like it can't bear anymore?
Like the Baron Red Baron.
Figget?
The Red Baron. Baron Fig, tools for thinkers. I have it brought up now. I'm a real fan. There's a whole world of people. I have the Vanguard the Confident hardcover, and it has what I like about it. I have the medium size, and it has the bookmark.
You know what? You need a database program to keep track of all your notebooks.
It is a thing, and I love it. And I don't know. I've only been using it. It was how Mark Zuckerberg has his yearly things like learn Mandarin or create a home robot.
These are pretty. Do you have yours here?
I have it by my desk.
It's in your office.
Yes, I have it.
So this, you do your bullet journal in this
mm-hmm.
Red
Baron. I do it. Yes, and the paper is thicker than the bullet journal, so I can write with my pens that I like on the front and the back without it running through.
I'd like to take a look at that sometime.
Okay.
I like the little one because you could keep that in your
yes.
in your purse or
you
pocket.
Could. Yes. I think I have the medium size one. Mine's about
so you carry
yay
it around.
Tall. I carry it around yeah. and I carry my last one around too because, you know, I just transitioned.
See, I would just like to do it. Again, I'm just trying to get everything on here. If I just had to carry this, the iPad with me, and everything was on here. That would be interesting. I mean, there's no reason you couldn't do a bullet journal on an iPad. You just
no.
do it in the Apple Notebook program. If you had a pen, you'd make little dots and squiggles and X's and O's and all of the stuff that you...
I like the feel of the ink coming out of the pen and onto the paper. We all have our things. That's mine.
I think what happens is people get a little burnout on technology, and they do. They want to go back. They want to take hikes. They want to use paper. They want to have a dial telephone. It's weird.
Well, I mean, part of why I use the bullet journal is that I can be like mindful of what I'm going to
yeah.
do. I know I use that word a lot, and then people are just like, oh.
Yeah.
But it means
no, it's mindful.
Something to me.
Yeah.
And yeah. sometimes if I wanted to use this, I would be like, okay, I'm going to be mindful. And then I'm like, oh, look at Twitter. I just got distracted
it's
by
distracting.
Facebook.
It's distracting. I agree.
I got to check my text messages.
Yeah.
And then my mindfulness
yep.
out the window.
Out the window.
So... Yeah, thank you for writing about it, Tom, so that I could talk about it. I did not make up
the
Tom's
bear
email. He really sent the email to
and
me.
Fig.
No, Baron, B-A-R-O-N.
Baron Fig.
Baron, like the Red Baron.
Baron Fig Pub.
The book for ideas.
Confident. Wait a minute, confidant.
The confidant.
It's not confident.
Oh,
it's confidant.
The confidant. Got it. All right, ready for another email?
Yeah.
Andre writes, since it's summer, would you have recommendations on some of the best apps for outdoor cooking or grilling?
Oh, don't get me started, Bubala. How about we do that next week?
Okay.
Because I have become, you know, I think it's related. This show has become very deeply personal, and that's because we think of you as our close personal friends.
Yeah.
But I think it's related to the, you know, I've been doing the intermittent fasting thing that it's all the rage in Silicon Valley and Hollywood. Where you don't eat for a day and then you eat and stuff like that. And I really like it, but that's personal. It's my own mm-hmm. thing. But I do notice one side effect of that. I've become fascinated with food. Fascinated. Especially on the days I'm not eating. Food has its gravitational pull. So I've been spending more time thinking about food technology. And I got a sous vide machine and a vacuum sealer. We bought a dehydrator. I'm testing. And so many of these, and of course, the Big Green Egg, and many of these analog cooking devices have digital sides, like the June oven, where we have an app for that. Or my sous vide machine, the Anova, has an app for that. So my griller, I use the iGrill, so I know what temperature and so forth. So, yes, we could do that. It's a nice inter. And then, of course, we've talked about recipes before. But let's do summer fun cooking.
Summer
apps.
Fun cooking. Okay.
All right. Next week.
All right. All right.
I'm in. Are you in?
I am in.
I am in.
All right, so now let's buy a house. What do you think? Get a mortgage?
Well, if you're going to buy a house, you know, you're probably, you know, most people, at least certainly here in California, don't just come with a bag of cash. I'll take that house. You get a loan, right? A home loan. But it's very important when you're getting a home loan, or if you have a loan and you're refinancing, now's a good time as the interest rates start to ratchet up. You might want to lock in the low interest rates today. It's important that you go to a lender that you trust, that a lender that's going to be helpful, give you the information you need. Nowadays, lenders, you know, I feel like they almost don't, you're just a number to them, right? And they sell your loan right away and you don't know who's your lender. I think there's a one lender that I really like, that they're transparent, they work with you, and they love geeks. And look at the website. You can go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. You go to the website. You'll see all the J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Awards. They are beloved. They are highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 7 years in a row and mortgage servicing 3 years in a row. That pretty much guarantees you're going to the best. But now this is why I love it. Quicken Loans has created Rocket Mortgage for us geeks, an entirely online mortgage process. And you get certain benefits. I'm not, you know, online, of course, it makes it fast and easy, but it's also more informational, more transparent. You know, you're there, you're part of the process. You see it happen. You just come to a bank and let them go off and, you know, you're faxing them documents and it takes weeks and you're there, you're in the process, you're doing it, you're picking your rate, you're picking your term. They can actually get all of the financial information they need. You just submit your pay stubs and your bank statements and so forth and so on right there on the app. You don't have to go get them. They have trusted partnerships with all the financial institutions. Then they crunch the numbers and they get a loan that's perfect for your financial situation. And they do that in minutes because it's all online. It's all computerized. So it's very fast. You know, some people like to go in and meet the mortgage officer and spend a long time with their home loan. And if that's you, yes, you can still do that. But frankly, for me, I want to do it fast. I want to do it online. I want to do it transparently. And I want to have the confidence in the lender. And that's what I think you're getting with Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Of course, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage. Maybe you're not doing it today. Just make a note of that. Put that in your bullet journal. Put that in your bullet journal for when you do need a home loan. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. What happened?
What do you mean?
We're wearing hats all of a sudden.
We are wearing hats all of a sudden. That's because it's app cap time.
Oh.
We're wearing caps.
You're wearing a beret.
A beret. It's app time.
I am wearing an Andy Cap cap. Actually, this is a Kangol, I think, isn't it?
That's one of my favorite hats.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not. It's a pistol.
Ooh.
Pistol.
So we're wearing...
I don't know where this came from, but I like it. Mine's
European
like,
hats.
Yes, we're European today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a French scuba.
That hat looks way better on me. But
is this your hat?
No, that's your hat. I just like
I love your hat.
Oh, thank you.
You look like Monica Lewinsky. So
you say
cute.
That every time, but I happen to be wearing the blue dress today, so.
It's just the beret. I don't know what it is.
It's okay.
Makes me feel like Bill Clinton.
That's so sweet. Let's talk about apps.
Okay, that's why we're wearing these. This is to honor the apps of the week.
Yes, to honor them. Okay, yes. So on Tech News Today, we talked last week. I had Micah Sargent on from iMore, and we talked about some AR kit demos that we liked. And one of them that came up was an AR demo for food. And I said, why would you ever need that? That's ridiculous. Like
hot dog or not?
No, not hot dog or not, but I do. It's a good Silicon Valley restaurant reference. But no, you're in a restaurant. You're kind of thinking like, I want to see my food before it comes to the table. And I just thought, ugh.
Can you?
Yes. Well, the creator of one of these apps emailed me and he said, I'm a big fan of Twit. And let me tell you, here's why you'd want to do this. Have you ever been in a restaurant and you think you're looking at the menu and you're like, what's bip and bap?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah. Or like, you know, when you look over someone's shoulder, you're like, that looks good. Right. You do that. Yeah. So his app, it's still in beta. And let's get to the beginning of it. And it is better on iPhone.
Is it called Bip and Bap?
No, it's... I'll take this out because we don't need volume.
Because we got wire confusion.
It's called Karak. Is that... Yeah, Kabak. K-A-B-A-Q.
K-A-B-A-Q. Like shish kebab with a Q.
Yes. So...
Not.
Do you want to see the food at Tavern 62?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you pick a restaurant.
Right. This is just a few restaurants in New York right now. This is, you know,
eventually
this is
he'll
AR
have
kit
all
just
the
came
restaurants.
Out, so.
Oh, this is with the AR kit.
So do you want to look at...
Show me what one of these, like a lemon tart, I don't know.
Chocolate s'mores
Wait a
cake.
Minute, what's a lollipop tree? Oh, okay. We can find out about s'mores cake, but then I want to go back.
Sitting comfortably.
Yes. Look at the screen so we can see where you're... Yeah, there we go.
Enjoy. And it might take a few seconds to enjoy.
Should I put my fingers in it? I mean,
I think we can, well...
Is that it? Right there?
That's not it.
That's a delicious looking thing.
Enjoy. There we go.
Oh, it's on the table. Well, maybe we should get my...
We have to... Yeah, let's... Yeah, we don't want to put
I don't
it on
want
our
a
iPad.
Cake on my iPad.
And then... look at that. Doesn't it look delicious?
So is that the real thing?
I guess it is the real thing. Are you fasting today?
Yeah. And this is exactly the kind of food I can eat on a fast.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Imagine it. Lollipop tree.
That looks like meringue.
No, that's a chocolate vanilla cake.
Oh, my gosh. I am really hungry.
So you can flip
today.
Through those.
Ooh.
There it is. That's the lollipop.
Oh, that is.
Cheesecake lollipop
that
tree.
That is lovely.
See, you might read that in the menu, but would you know?
Yeah. Oh.
So this restaurant had to submit these images.
Mm-hmm.
So that the real deal. This is okay. I do like this.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, this is the future. This isn't the present. You can't. I mean, everybody's not using this today. But
it would make more sense in an iPhone than having to hold up.
Yes,
your
you wouldn't.
iPad
hopefully, you wouldn't have your iPad. So yeah, I thank you for writing me and
augmented reality food.
Kabak.
K-A-B-A-Q.
Sorry for not getting the name right.
It's Kabak.
Kabak?
Well, the Q is capitalized, so
yeah,
I think maybe it's Kabak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll find out.
So,
all the good names are taken.
Sometimes I just say stuff where I'm like, who needs that? But
that's
makes
really
sense.
Kind of fun. In fact, shouldn't that just be the menu?
Yes.
Like, forget the printed menu. I should just be able to browse my food.
And you could do it at home first, too, to decide if you want to go there.
We're in an era now, and this is going to be this way for the next year, that because Apple is putting this empowering technology in iOS with ARKit, which is a developer's tool that makes it easy to do this. That's interesting. Recorded using a Samsung Galaxy S7.
Okay, so this is not ARKit, I guess, if he's using it.
No, because he's recording it off of an iPhone, see?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute, that's on a Samsung. So maybe it is an AR kit. Yeah, I don't know. So, but the point being, I think we're going to see a lot of these experiments as we try to figure out what augmented reality is good for.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example, though, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it.
Right. Yeah, and of course, augmented reality apps like this existed before AR kit, but they're getting...
Not as easy to do. I feel like, and we'll know more in a month or two, Apple's going to design the new iPhone with features that make this better.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're seeing now is using existing hardware, but when the new iPhone comes out, I have a feeling it'll have better cameras for this kind of thing, depth sensing cameras, things like that, that ARKit will automatically take advantage of. And I suspect this is going to be, I think it might be the next big thing. Apple certainly hopes so.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
I'm going to show you something that I've mentioned before, I've talked about, I've never made an app cap, and I realize I really should make it an app cap because this is something... We always tell you that when you're using Twitter or Facebook or Google, that you should turn on two-factor authentication. So let me kind of quickly explain what that is. and then show you how to make it a little bit easier. So two-factor authentication is the idea that, you know, to get into a website to use your bank, you have to prove you're you. In the old days, you'd show them a driver's license or something like that. Online, you can't do that. So that's why now all of a sudden everybody needs a login and a password. The password is something you know. That's a form of authentication. There are actually three kinds of authentication: something you know, something you have, or something you are. And if you're trying to be more secure, just something you know might not be enough. What if we had two factors, something you know and something you have, or something you know and something you are? Well, the fingerprint reader on your iPhone is something you are. It's your fingerprint. It's a biometrics. Iris scanner, which presumably face recognition will be in the new iPhone. It's in Windows today. Those things are second factors. So if you log in with a password and then it says, okay, but you have to prove you're you and you use a fingerprint, that's more than twice as secure. A hacker could guess your password or steal your password, but wouldn't have your fingerprint. Something you have is, as an example, your phone. And a lot of second factor authentication schemes use your phone as a way to do this. Perhaps you've seen the app Google Authenticator. It's an app that will generate a six-digit code that goes along with your password. So you'll log into your Gmail and it says, okay, first time you've used this device, and usually it's that way. It's only the first time you've used this device. You have to prove that it's you, so it's not some hacker. I'm gonna send you a text. Sometimes banks do that. Or launch your authenticator and tell me what your six-figure code is. So most people use Google's authenticator. Microsoft has an authenticator. LastPass has. A lot of companies have authenticators. The one I use in my AppCap for today is something called Authy, A-U-T-H-Y. And I use it for a couple of reasons. One, because it is it stores your authentication tokens on the cloud, encrypted. You provide an encryption password that only you know. And that means you can have Authy on all of your devices. Nowadays, we have so many devices. You can have your Authy on all your devices, and that way you'll be sure to have access to your six-digit code. I want you to turn on two-factor. I want you to turn it on Amazon. They just started adding it. I mean, you don't want somebody shopping on your behalf. I want you to turn it on Google, Gmail especially. You want your email to be protected. Certainly, any banking, any financial things you do, you should have two-factor turned on. If they allow it, turn it on, and Authy will make it easy. Usually when you first set up two-factor, they will give you, what they're going to give you is a secret number, a very long number that's yours and yours alone. It's like your password. The bank knows it, you know it, and then these authenticating programs generate a six-digit code based on the time of day and that long secret number. They hash them together to give it a six-digit number. The reason they use the time of day is because that six-digit number is only good for 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, another one. And another one, and another one. That's great because somebody can't just observe your six-digit code and remember it and use it again. It can't be used again. It only be used that once. So I'm in Authy right now, and I'll show you. And I don't mind showing you my six-digit codes because they're not my passwords. You'd need my password and my six-digit code. One thing you want to do is this backup password reminder. I don't have it turned on right now, but that's a password for you to log in. You'll also have a password, and you should make that one strong, to protect your six-digit codes. So the first time you use Authy on a new device, you'll have to enter that long Authy password, but it will then automatically know all of your accounts. So these are all the different accounts I use two-factor with. LastPass is on there, Google's on there, my Microsoft, Tumblr, Slack, WordPress. Everything I can, I turn on two-factor, Snapchat even. And this is my Amazon two-factor. So you see, this is going to expire in a couple of seconds, and then I'll get another six-digit code. So if you were going to log on to my Amazon account, you'd need my password, and then Amazon would say, okay, fine, and you've seen this before. Mm-hmm. You need to add this six-digit code. Authy allows you to press this to copy it to the clipboard. Makes it easy to paste in if you're on an iPhone or an iPad. I like that. But I also like it that I don't have to set it up on each and every device. Once it's set up on your Authy account, you log into your Authy account, and all of your two-factor secret numbers will be entered in here.
So do you use I saw LastPass Authenticator in there. So do you use Authy with LastPass Authenticator?
I don't. In fact, I don't recommend LastPass Authenticator. Here's why. You don't want a single point of failure, right? So if somebody – the reason you use two-factor is the risk that somebody gets your password. What if somebody – It's unlikely. LastPass uses strong encryption. Only you have the key, et cetera, et cetera. But let's say one day LastPass is hacked. They get my password vault. Now, that's very risky because they have all my passwords now. And they manage somehow magically to unencrypt it. There's plenty of things that LastPass does to prevent that. I don't want them, though, to also get my second factor information. And that will be stored with LastPass. So I keep those separate. And I encourage you to do that. It's fine to use Google Authenticator. That's a great one. Microsoft's Authenticator. The reason I use Authy is because I don't have to re-enter my information every time I set up a new device. And as you know, I set up a lot of new devices. It's safe. It's free. And it is anything that can make two-factor easier is a good thing, right? I really want to encourage people to use two-factor. So A-U-T-H-Y. It's available on iOS, of course, and Android. And if you want to know more, as you can see, the site has some good information, including that article on using Authy versus Google Authenticator. They functionally are the same. The big difference is with Google Authenticator, every time you have a new device, you have to set it up again. But you should also know what the risks are of having a centralized database of passwords. I feel comfortable with Authy, and I do recommend it. Free and anything to make two-factor easier. Do turn on two-factor. And if you want to use somebody else's authenticator, like Google Authenticator, that's fine too.
Would you ever recommend doing more than one authenticator?
Yeah, there's no reason not to. Actually, I don't have, you mentioned LastPass Authenticator. What you saw was LastPass. I don't have LastPass Authenticator.
But I do have
Microsoft Authenticator.
Oh, that's what
and I'll tell you why I have Microsoft Authenticator on there. When you log into Windows, Microsoft Authenticator works the same way. You see, here's my 8-digit code generated by the Authenticator. But it also, and I think this is actually a better way to do it. Google started doing this too. If you have the Authenticator installed on your device, and I have it installed on my devices, you will see a push notification that says, oh, you just tried to log in on Windows on this device. Is that okay? And you just say yes. And Google's now doing that too. You might have noticed that when you give a Google password, it will then prompt you on your, if you have an iPhone, it'll say, open up the Google app to say yes. That's easier than entering six digits. And in some ways, it may even be more secure. So that's, but it's again, something you have, right? It won't work unless you have your phone. So a bad guy would have to get your password and your phone or your password and your iPad, whatever you have these authenticators on, in order to get into your account. That's why you want to do that. It's more than twice as safe.
Is there an Authy app for the Apple Watch?
Yes, there is. In fact, Authy shows up in your notifications as well. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to be a time saver, you can actually add Authy to those pop-up notifications here on the iPad or the iPhone. I don't do it because I just don't. But yeah, and you can have it on the Apple Watch as well. But it will only show a small subset of the total. Mm-hmm. Authentications, and as you can see, I have quite a few, so I end up launching the app.
I feel like it's security and passwords are like flossing now. Like, you gotta do it even though it's annoying and you don't have time for it.
The good news is the day is soon coming, I hope, that we can get rid of passwords. You know, you think about it, we didn't have passwords when we were kids. Maybe you had to remember a couple of things, your street address, your home phone number, and your locker combination. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're expected to remember hundreds and hundreds of passwords for every website we log into. It's just not practical, and there are some real security issues involved. So we're going to come up with a better way, I think. But for now, this is a good thing.
We have done it again.
Have we?
We have done it again. We have iOS'd this week.
It's all done?
I think so. Do you have anything else? Well,
no.
I mean, email me at megan@twit.tv if we missed anything or if you want to add anything or if you have suggestions for outdoor cooking apps.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. In fact, if you want to send us a video of you grilling something, that'd be great. Just keep it under 30 seconds. Start the video with your first name and city. Don't tell us your last name. We want to protect your privacy. And you can put it on YouTube and send us a link again. megan@twit.tv.
Yep.
We do this show. It's our new time. I hope for those of you who like to watch live, you noted that we now are on Tuesday mornings, 9 a.m. Pacific. Actually, it's noon Eastern time. Or if you're somewhere else in the world, the UTC is 1600 UTC. So you can do the math and figure out what time that would be for your locale. We'd love it when you watch live. And if you do, join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. You can do it in your browser or get an IRC client. Yes, we use old-fashioned IRC, and it's always fun. We see the IRC chat go by the whole time we're doing the show, so your comments and thoughts, as you can see, we often refer to you, are much appreciated there. If you don't want to watch live, on-demand audio and video is available at our website. That's true of all of our shows, twit.tv/iOS for this show. Best thing to do, though, you know, is find whatever way you listen to podcasts or watch podcasts, because we have audio and video, subscribe. And that way you'll get every episode automatically the minute it's done. And you can just listen to it on your way to work on Wednesday or however you like to listen. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. This is when we throw our hats. Is that what we do?
Yeah, that's what we do.